Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you on tonight. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you listening live in the studio, live is the best place to be. So if you're listening in through the internet, that's good too. But if you want to get in on this discussion on tonight and really feel the anointing of it, I believe you should call in to the studio so you could be live. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about the subject matter. I'm excited about the revelation of this thing called commitment. I tell you, I am going to suck up as much information as I can. I've heard bits and pieces about it. We are actually doing a spinoff from Woman to Woman, which is an MCD Network show that takes place on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I co-host that show with Minister LaDon. And we had a special couple on, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday before last. And I tell you, the show was so dynamic. Now, I don't want to scare you, but the show was so dynamic that it almost went into 2 hours. That's how powerful the show was. That's how powerful this subject matter was. So, again, we are excited to bring this dynamic couple to Processing the Pain on tonight. But the good thing about it is we're doing a series. So on tonight, they're going to be sharing the 6 stages of commitment. And then on next Tuesday, which is the last Tuesday of the month, or the last day of the month of February, we're going to close out our love month with a 6 stages of commitment Q&A. Well, what does that mean, Coach D? What that means is that on next Tuesday, we're going to open up and we're going to have a panel discussion. So we're telling you, if you've been listening in, take notes. Take notes, jot them down, because on next Tuesday, we're going to open up, we're going to have a panel, and we're going to be asking questions, and we're going to be getting answers, and we're going to be getting it from different perspectives. Commitment, what people think about commitment. Do men think differently than women? Now, the 6 stages of commitment is going to give you some things to say, but I'm saying there's people that got different perceptions about commitment and what it means to them. But we're hoping that the 6 stages of commitment will start causing people to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they'll begin to see commitment differently. Because what we're finding out is that most people can't do what they can't see. I'm going to say that again. Most people can't do what they can't see. And so what I like about what we're getting ready to hear tonight is I get a clear picture. I get a defined picture of what commitment is. So now, me being single, when I get ready for, well, as I begin to prepare for my king to come, I could be working on my my 6 stages of commitment. So you start working on it now, and then when that person comes, you'll know how to just walk in it. So I'm excited. I'm not going to, without further ado, I'm not going to keep talking, because you guys know Coach D could talk. But I'm not going to keep talking. I'm not going to hold you up. I don't want to keep, I know everybody's excited because I'm excited, and it should be just flowing through the phone system. So I'm going to welcome our special guest. They are known as the Kingdom Tag Team. The Kingdom Tag Team, and they are a tag team. They flow. They flow in their commitment. So without further ado, I'm going to present to some and introduce to others. Coaches Don and Charlene Johnson, are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, we're here. You're loved and appreciated. Yeah. Greetings, family.
Greetings.
Well, you are loved and appreciated, too, and thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Again, I am so excited. What I would like to do, because we have a different audience that listen in on Thursdays and Tuesdays, so in case we didn't have people that listened in on the Tuesday before last, I want to just draw a picture for our audience. Tell me, who is Don and Charlene?
Well, we wear many hats. You know, I'm a husband. I'm a father. You know, we're called to pastor. We're coaches. We're part of Boston Movement, you know, the curriculum that teach children core values from ages 4 through 19. We do a number of things. We became the regional representative for Boston Movement here in the northern region. But we have a number of hats that we wear. you know, one of the things I'd like to say, you know, me and Charlene, we got married. We met back in June of, I think it was the end of June, actually, of 94. And we were married by June the 3rd of 95, less than some just 360-something odd days we were married. We have three children, a 21-year-old son, Malcolm, a daughter who turned 19 in November, and then another son who will be 16 next month in March. And we live, reside here in Sacramento, California right now. And that's pretty much it, you know.
Yeah, and I'm Charlene, and I am the other half of this Kingdom Tag Team. And I'm also a assistant manager in the labor and delivery unit. So I do babies all kind of ways, physically and spiritually. So very excited. I've been there about 16 years. I'm a mother, as Don said. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I'm a servant. You know, just whatever it is that God has for us, that's what we do. So we do a lot of different things, and many people ask, why, how can we do so much? But it's definitely the anointing of God that helps us to do all the things that we need to do. So right now, currently, we host a Night to Dream. And a Night to Dream is an event designed to inspire and motivate and encourage and cause people to live a life without limits. So we get together once a month on a Saturday night, and we just really encourage people to dream again and to take the limits off. And all of the dreamers all over the Elk Grove area, Sacramento, they come and they connect with us, and we begin to start pursuing our dreams.
And then we also have the Saturday Dream Sessions. It's about goal setting and creating action plans and, you know, the practical stuff that you need to do in order to reach your goals.
Yeah, so that's it. And we're going to do a vertical leap, NorCal and Vallejo.
Wow.
So anybody in that area is going to be in Vallejo. It's on my Facebook page. You'll be able to see that later.
Well, what I'm going to do before the show is over, I'm going to make sure that I allow you an opportunity for two things. To give more information about, is it the dream again or dream night?
A night to dream.
Okay, because I know there's some people in the Bay Area or in Sacramento area that would probably love to attend that. So I'm gonna make sure that you give them the necessary information, as well as Vertical Leap. Woohoo! That's coming up, and I know that's going to be dynamic, because from what I hear, that there's some friendly, godly region competition going on, and you guys are making things happen. And I heard Sacramento is on the map.
Hey, yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we are on the move.
Amen. So I'm going to get in. I'm going to get up into your business, because I know this is going to lead to the six stages. Now, you've been married for since 94, right? And so, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. We met in 95. Married in 95. 22 years.
22 years.
Okay. Well, that's an accomplishment when you look around and you see a world that's full of, and we're going to even talk about in the body. The divorce rate is great, and we're talking about in the body is higher than in the secular. So, and I'm not going to focus on that, but it's a reality. It exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the six stages of commitment, I got to just come with that, because I think it's so dynamic. And so I'm just going to step back, and I'm going to be a student, because I really want everyone to really get this, because I believe if they could get this six stages of commitment now, even if you're single callers, those listening in through the internet, whether you're single, courting, if you're married, I'm telling you, these principles that you're getting ready to hear, if you really embrace them, take your notes, get paper. I tell you, get a pencil, get paper, write your notes. This is so dynamic if you get it, because if you get it, you got it, and you won't have to worry about what do you do when when it don't seem like the love is there, you know? What do you do when you have an irritation? What do you do? You know, is divorce even is that even an option? And so tell us, what is the six stages? Can you just tell us really quickly, what are the six stages?
So real quick, just a real quick soundbite of it. So there's six stages, and the first one is defining moment. The second one is the decisive moment. The third one is the distasteful moment. The fourth one is the deceptive moment. Then let's see, where am I? Then the fifth one is the dying moment, and the sixth one is the destiny moment. That's them really quickly. So those are the ones that we're going to cover in addition to a few other things. So if you wanted to jump in.
So we have defining. So I'm just going to repeat those, and now I'm going to step back. So we have number one, defining moment, decisive moment, distasteful moment, deception moment, dying moment, and destiny moment. And with that being said, Coach D is going to just step back and take the wheel. Tag team.
All right.
Hey. All right, so we're going to start out with the defining moment. And last week when we talked in the program, these are stages of commitment. So it can really relate to any area in your life. But in this way, because we're talking about relationships this month, we're going to cater it toward relationships. So you have got to have a defining moment when it comes to getting married, when it comes to connecting with somebody that's going to be with you for the rest of your life. So a defining moment, what that means or what that looks like, is it's a knowing, just like I know that I'm a woman, just like I know that I'm saved, just like I know that I'm called, it's a knowing on the inside that nobody really can question. So even if you had a whole family full of people that said, no, don't marry them, if you got a knower in your knower, I mean, you still would marry them in spite of what everybody else is saying. So it's very firm. It's a knower that nobody can take away from you. So that's what a defining moment is.
Yeah, it's you define that moment. You just know this is the one for me. And when we talk about in the area of marriage, like when me and Charlene met, I knew she was the one for me, and that was settled. I had a defining moment. And then once you define that moment, you know this is the one. The next step is
the decisive moment. And the decisive moment says, okay, now that I know in my knower, I had an inner witness in my spirit that this is the one for me, now I got to decide to do something. Like, for instance, when me and Don, we had that knowing in our knower, so we got married. And so because we had a defining moment, we decided to never get a divorce. I mean, we weren't afraid of the word, because sometimes, you know how we get real religious sometimes and we're scared to say certain things, but we don't even use the word divorce in our relationship. So it's not an option for us to not be together, because we've defined our moment. We know in our knower, and that decisive moment is that I'm going to decide to stay with you through thick and thin, no matter what we're going through.
You've made a decision. Yeah. And these are things that have to be first before you even get married. You know, we're talking about marriage, as Charlene said, this could be in any area of life, but for the sake of talking about in the area of marriage, you have to define this before you get married. You have to have that defining moment. You have to decide that not only am I going to get married, but I'm going to stay married.
And, you know, just before we go a little bit further, a lot of times when we counsel couples and things like that, we'll always ask them, have you had a defining moment? Do you know that this is your wife? Do you know that this is your husband? And many times they can't really give us a knowing on the inside. So we know that this relationship is in trouble already, because you don't even know on the inside that this is who you're supposed to be with. I think he is, or I believe so. No, you need to know that this is who you're supposed to be with, so that there'll be no issues, as you can see, as you get further down the line.
Because all true relationships, any relationship that's ordained of God, will be challenged. It won't go unchecked by the enemy. And these are things that you have to have settled beforehand. So a lot of times we ask couples, have you had that defining moment? And they're not sure. And we're saying, well, that's something that you need to settle. You need to know there's a defining moment that you have to have, because you can enter into something And when the challenges come, you know, will you be able to stay committed to the relationship? You know, and you can only do this if you have that defining moment and make a decision that, okay, I'm going to get married and I'm going to stay married no matter what happens.
Right. And so the third one is the distasteful moment. And the distasteful moment is when stuff start happening. You begin to get offended. You start getting mad at each other. You start having arguments and, you know, disagreements, because the word of God says the two shall become one. And that ain't no joke. When you got this one person over here with all of their baggage and you got the other person with all of their baggage and you're bringing that those two to become one together, especially if you haven't really had any great counseling or really had mentors that can lead you along the way, then you jump into this thing and you think you're ready, you know, to stay together forever. And then you start finding out all kinds of stuff. So if you haven't defined your moment, offense is going to come. You're going to get upset, and then you'll be ready to do what you said you would never do.
And so someone, you know, is going to say something or do something that's not right, or at least you're going to perceive it not to be right, and you'll get offended if you don't handle it appropriately. And one thing about that distasteful moment, when we say distasteful, we're talking about offenses will come.
Yeah.
You will be offended. But it's how you handle the offenses, how you handle the distasteful moment will determine whether or not the relationship sinks. And so we prepare people. I tell them, listen, distasteful moments are going to come. You know, I don't care how much you love one another, they're going to come. And, you know, I mean, just someone, we've all said something that was stupid or did something stupid. And what happened is when we offend someone or we get offended, we no longer see that person for who they are. We see them for what they did. And that way the enemy can get in there. He could, with offense, he used it as a wedge to get in there and to pull that relationship apart. And so we talk about John the Baptist, how he had a distasteful moment. You know, John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the Christ. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him and said, the one that you see the Spirit of God landing upon, alighting upon, he is the one. He's the Messiah. So man did not tell John the Baptist that. Jesus told him. The Holy Spirit revealed that to him, who Jesus was. But there came a day when John the Baptist had a distasteful moment. He was in prison. He's about to be beheaded. And he sent his disciples to Jesus, and he said, ask him, is he the one, or do we look for another? What happened? What made him start to doubt whether he was the Messiah? God had revealed it to him. And so what I'm saying is he had that a defining moment. He had he was able to define his moment. He made a decision. He was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus. But here he is sitting in jail wondering, is he the one or do we look for another? Because offenses came. And when Jesus began to address that, one of the things that Jesus said as he was addressing this situation with John, he said, and blessed are those who are not offended in me. So we could see that he had he got offended. He had a distasteful moment. And we know the end of John at that point. He was beheaded in the prison. Now, the thing is, we talk about you have to handle the distasteful moment appropriately. They are going to come. There's nothing you can do to prevent them. They're going to come. But the thing is how you handle it. You don't have a choice on whether they're coming or not. They're coming, but you do have a choice on how you're going to handle it. And if you handle the distasteful moment appropriately, there's another stage that will come, and that is the
deceptive moment.
The deceptive moment.
Yeah, and the deceptive moment is where you become deceived. Like, just like me and Don, I see him as my husband, my house bonder. So when I get offended or when I'm holding on to that bitterness or that I'm upset and I'm in offense, and then I no longer see him as my visionary of the house, my eyes become dim. Then I start tripping and, you know, start seeing that, okay, I thought he was supposed to be the one that, you know, is my house bond.
In other words, she's saying, is he the one or do she look for another? That's what offense does.
You start getting blind.
And let me say this. See, we're talking about commitment, and these are the six stages of commitment with these six D's. Now, I heard a story about three frogs. You probably heard a story before. They were all sitting on a log, and they made a decision that they would jump off. And the question was asked, how many of them were still on the log? And the answer was all three of them were still on the log because they only made a decision. They never made a commitment. And see, a decision is of the heart, but commitment has action.
That's right.
So there's a lot of people who have made a decision that we're going to get married, and they were left standing at the altar because someone didn't follow up. There was no action behind that decision. See, a decision, in other words, if I jump off of the bridge, well, I can't go back on my word. I'm you know, the law of gravity is in place. I've already set things in motion. I'm halfway there. And so what I'm saying is you can't take a commitment back. People take a decision back. They cannot take a commitment, and those go hand in hand. And this is what we're talking about when we're talking about a decisive moment and making that decision that I'm going to stay married, having a commitment, you know, not just having the words of the heart, but let me see it in action. Let your commitment will carry out that decision. And so when we talk about that, when we talk about the distasteful moment, not handled appropriately, you slip into offense or actually slip into deception.
Yeah.
And the same thing that happened with
Judas.
He was one who slipped into deception.
Because remember, he followed Jesus. He was one of the 12, but we described Judas as he followed him, but his heart was far from him. So he was there, just like you see some marriages, they're roommates. You know, they sleep in separate beds sometimes. Sometimes there's no intimacy there. You know, they're just there. They're just existing, and that's not how God ordained marriage to be. Marriage, I like how you talk about marriage as honorable. And that it's the institution that is perfect, but the people are broken that connect into that institution. So a lot of times, you know, you always tell them that.
Since you go there, let me say this, and all this tie in. You know, the Bible speak about how marriage, and it's he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor with the Lord. And I've heard a lot of teaching on this particular scripture. And if you've heard it, you probably heard it the same way I heard it, and it's told in a common way. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor with the Lord. And they said the good thing is the wife. But let me tell you something. I believe now, personally, it's how God dealt with me. My wife is not the good thing. My wife is my wife. So when the Bible says he who findeth a good thing, in this case it's talking about me, findeth a wife, which is Charlene, and then it says and have favor with God. But the question is, what is this good thing? And I'll tell you the way it was revealed to me by God was this good thing is the institution of marriage. So when I find a wife and I say I do, I make the commitment, I make a commitment, then I can enter into this good thing, which is called marriage. You know, a lot of people say things like I was in a bad marriage, and I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as a bad marriage, not that was ordained of God. You've got some people who got married, but it was never ordained of God. In fact, God was telling them not to marry. But my point is when God give you a husband or give you a wife, there's no such thing as a bad marriage. What happened is this. A lot of people don't know how to be married, and they destroy their marriages. But the marriage is good. There's never been a recall from heaven on marriages. It's like my dream car is a Rolls Royce. Now, if you give me a Rolls Royce, that's a good car. But if I don't know how to drive, I'll tear it up. And then I'll say that's a bad car. Well, a lot of people have destroyed their marriage because they don't know how to drive and they want to blame marriage, but they don't want to look in the mirror and say, no, I had a good marriage, but I tore it up.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying is he who finds the wife findeth a good thing. This good thing is the institution of marriage. And God said, when you say I do, when I show you your wife and you say I do, make a commitment, God is saying you will have favor with me. The problem is they made decisions. They got married. They signed the paper. But the husband never made the commitment. He wondered why he don't have no favor on his life. Now, let me stop because I'm way over there now. But what I'm saying but not function in the marriage. You know, it's like you can hire me to perform a job. I could be in the place of business but not doing the job. So what I'm saying, a lot of husbands are in the place of business but they're not functioning. And so they wonder why there's no favor there and wonder why they can't please their wife. You'll never please your wife until you decide I'm going to be a husband, not just call myself a husband. A husband is more than a title. It's more than a piece of paper. It's, you know, the thing is, you know, when we talk about submitting in a marriage, God never told them, when he said wife submit, he never told you to submit to nothing less than a husband. The question is, does he qualify? In other words, what are the qualifications of a husband? That's why being counseled before you get married is so important, because I need to know why I'm here and what my obligations are, and then I can fulfill them. I can qualify to be submitted to. But if I start acting like somebody other than a husband, I don't care whether I have a license or not, I'm not worthy of being submitted to. I still have to qualify to be submitted to. And so I didn't mean to go way over there, but.
No, but that's important, though. That's really important. And then a lot of times, Coach D, when it's like that and when that man is not in position, a lot of times, and you know it probably personally in a lot of your friends' lives, that that woman begins to take over because he has no vision. He has no assignment for the family. So then you got this woman of God stepping in a place where she's not supposed to be because he's the visionary of the family. And then things start, you know, going south in a sense because he's the one that directs and drives the family. He has vision for everybody in the family. But if you're getting married and then he doesn't have a vision, then what does it say? Without a vision, the people perish or the people run wild. So it'll be all kind of confusion and disorder going on because that there was no vision for that family.
And so what I'm saying, when you find this good thing, now it's time to enter into it. I'm talking about not just say we're married now and sign the papers, but let me function in this institution called marriage. And it's the only relationship that God has ordained to bring the favor upon a man. I could have favor in other ways, but there's a favor that I can get when I enter this institution of marriage that God will bring upon me. And like I said, a lot of guys have not have experienced that favor because not just because you're married, but are you conducting yourself accordingly? And, you know, because the Bible said the two shall become one. I can tell if you conduct yourself accordingly because you will become one. And it don't happen in year one. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
To become one is over a period of time as you get to know each other. And that's why the Bible speak about how the husband and the wife, once you're married, that you're under a different yoke. When you're single, enjoy being single. But when you're married, you have to care for the things of your spouse and how to please them. And so what I'm saying is you're under a different yoke. And when you begin to please each other, let me tell you something, that's when you begin to come together and mesh together and become one. And a lot of marriages have gone on for years, but they never became one. They're still two. And so, but anyway, like I said, we're going off a little bit. We want to get
took a little bit.
No, oh, my goodness. No, awesome, awesome. You know,
okay,
awesome.
So was...
what you're saying is so on target, even with your six stages of commitment. It's just on target because so many, you know, the good thing is the institution of marriage and we've, you know, and it's been so defiled. You know, what does constitute marriage? Is it man and woman, a woman? You know, all these things that it's, you know, it's such a powerful institution. It's, like you said, it's a covenant. And it's one of the only covenants that God has is marriage, and so you can see why the enemy is so busy with the deception and the distortion of marriage because it's powerful when you get it, you know, when you truly get it.
Yes.
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 Amen.
It's very, and I think that's why it's such a. When we talk about this, the good thing, we need to recognize it as what it is. What is this good thing?
Right.
And it is the institution of marriage. And when you enter into that institution, begin to function as a married couple, and not no longer as I'm by myself and I can do what I want to, that's why I'm saying, you know, you've heard it said that if you love God, when we talk about loving our spouse and loving God, you know, a husband that love his wife, like Christ loved the church, that's what I'm trying to say, have no problem submitting to that husband. When a husband can love his wife as Christ loved the church, you would be out of your mind not to want to submit to a man like that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that's the only type of man that's worthy of being submitted to. You know, not just because you have the license you submit to me. No, you got to do what the license says. I can have a license to be a doctor, but a lot of doctors have been sued for malpractice because they need to really get out of the business. And so what I'm saying is we don't need to play. Once we say I do and talking about making a decision and, you know, going through these six stages of commitment, taking you deeper into the relationship where you will become one. That's the whole thing with this this thing on commitment.
Right. So as we keep on moving ahead, the next moment, so we just talked about the deceptive moment, but we want to skip that deceptive moment because we're going to handle every offense in the distasteful moment.
Let me just say one other thing about the deceptive moment. You remember the story of Paul and Barnabas, how they were going to go back to the cities and preach unto the people they had seen. They were going back to go preach to them, see how they were doing. And the Bible said there was a sharp contention. Now, we know, again, the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. I believe it was Paul at the time, for the work for which I've called them unto. So here's another work that the Holy Spirit has done by God, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to them that this is me. Separate them for the work I've called them unto. But then the Bible said there came a day when there was a sharp contention, and they parted asunder. They got offended with one another. Now, and we know that Barnabas took his nephew Mark, and Paul took Silas. But here's the thing. You heard of Paul. After that, you heard of John Mark. You heard of Silas, but you never heard of Barnabas. He got offended.
He aborted his plan.
He walked away and walked right out of the Bible. We don't even know if he finished his destiny. And that's what the enemy does. He brings offense. Things can be ordained of God, but we still have to be able to handle the offense appropriately, and it takes a mature person to do it. And then so you said after the deception.
After the deceptive moment is the dying moment. And that's where I die to my will, my, you know, that selfish spirit that's there. You die to, because when you get married, it's totally not about you anymore. When the two become one, there's a death that happens as if you die. If you're still alive, yeah, you're going to be cussing and fussing and doing all of that all the time. But when you truly die to yourself and say, Lord, I know this is who you called for me to be with. I know that we're having some challenges now, but I die to my will, my agenda, my time clock, my feelings, my emotions. I die to that so that that whole thing can live. And that's really a hard part for most people. If you think about it, Jesus had to say, not my will, but your will, Father. It's not about me. It's about you and your purpose for this marriage. What is it that you created us to do as a kingdom tag team? There's people that we have to impact. So we don't have time to have a marriage that's not honorable unto God, because there's too much work to do. There's too many people that are looking at us, that are influenced by us. So for us not to commit to have that kingdom marriage that God wants, then we're not really doing God any justice. His reputation is on the line, and we want to represent him well. And that's why it's so important for people to get these 6 D's.
And so, like, I had a friend the other night, you know, one of the things is, you know, once Charlene was saying, not my will, but your will be done. I tell the husbands, you're going to be praying that prayer a lot.
Yeah.
Not my will. You can't watch the football game every Sunday and Monday night once you get married. And, you know, so you can't do everything by yourself. You got you and your spouse is together now. She's a part of this. I had a friend who told me the other night that he stayed out after work. He got up at 4 o'clock, and he stayed out with a friend till 11:30 at night playing card games. And I told him, can I give you some good advice? He said, what is it? I said, don't eat those biscuits she cooked for you tonight, because she might not tell you nothing. But let me tell you something. Because people, a lot of times we don't, but it show up in our actions. And then next thing you know, you got a big explosion on your hand, and it'll go back to that night that he stayed out till 11:30 at night. So, you know, what I'm saying, when you're married, I would give all the brothers some advice. You might not want to do that. That is the thing you do. Not my will, but your will be done.
But your will be done. And that's the dying moment. And the last one is the destiny moment. And that's where there's power and anointing. You see that power couple, they're in a flow. We were talking about last time when we did, we had set up a conference for couples, and the couples were going to tag team like we tag team, because we thought that everybody flowed like we flowed as a couple. And oh my God, it was like World War III.
We almost had to break up.
We almost had to do counseling sessions and everything, because there's an ebbing and there's a flowing when you're really in unity and you're flowing and you know each other and you've really mastered these 6 D's. And not to say that you don't get upset, because we still have disagreements and challenges, but we've defined our moment. So it's not about whether I'm right, or it's not about whether Don is right. It's the word right. And that's what we established in the beginning of our relationship. We're not going to believe what I feel or what he feels, but what does the word say on the matter?
Right.
And that has been really valuable, valuable nugget in ours. And that's the destiny moment. That's where burdens are being removed. Yokes are being destroyed. You're walking in your anointing, and you're impacting all of those people that God created you to impact. And it was simply because you made that commitment, and you went through this process and stages of commitment, and that's why you were able to get to the end at your destiny. Because if you think about it, from your defining moment to your destiny moment, right smack in the middle is this distasteful moment. And that's where most people miss the ballpark right there, because that distasteful, that offense comes, and we get into our feelings, and we get upset, and we get hurt. We won't die to ourselves. So then that relationship that could have been ordained by God is destroyed, because you wouldn't die to yourself so that you can live unto another person. And that's it with those particular 6 D's. But, you know, I have some other things about commitment, and then we'll stop, Coach D, but I had found this and I wanted to share it. It's actually 5 types of commitment. There's a casual commitment, and that's a commitment where you're given no foresight. You're just like, oh, well, I'm in it just because, you know.
I haven't given it any thought, you know.
Just doing it. It's like, okay.
Okay, you want me to be committed to this, I'll do it.
Yep, and then there's a coerced commitment, and that's a commitment made under pressure. It's almost like
a shotgun wedding. You're going to marry my daughter.
Wow. So you're going to marry her.
Yeah, but that's not a good commitment, because it's a commitment under pressure.
Yeah, but it's not going
to
hold up.
Well, as soon as you get too old to hold that shotgun, the marriage is over.
Yeah, and then we have the cunning commitment, and that's a commitment with a hidden agenda. You know, and some of those things, you see some people getting married for financial gain. Maybe the other partner has money or, you know, whatever, a lot of materialistic type stuff, and they have that, and they get married just because of that, because they want to try that. If you think about it in a church setting, that type of commitment is like somebody will join a big church because they can do a network marketing scheme in that particular church. So it's cunning commitment. And then there's a camaraderie commitment, and that's doing it because your buddy did it. You do it just because somebody else did it, but you didn't really have that commitment.
But as soon as your buddy decides he's not going to do it.
Yeah, then you got this commitment that now you're going to jump off the bandwagon too, because
right.
You really just did it because somebody else did it. But we want the calculated commitment. That's the one that Jesus did when he said he made an intentional, on purpose, and deliberate decision to die for us so that we can live. And we have to get to that point in a marriage. You have to have a calculated commitment, because challenges are going to come. But will you do what you resolve to do when everything in your world looks like it's crashing in? That's really a good question, because most people faint when it's time for them to go strong. There's a definition I'll give you about with loyalty. And loyalty is a faithfulness displayed through my conversation, my conduct, and my contribution that remains steadfast and immovable in the midst of pressure or any attempt to desert a person or a cause. So, see, that's like true loyalty. It's a faithfulness in my conversation. Am I speaking the right things? In my conduct? Am I behaving the right way? Am I contribution? Am I giving to this relationship? And that contribution has to stand fast in the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that distasteful moment. Am I still going to be able to stand and be loyal to this person, or I'm going to get mad and I start having wandering eyes and looking at stuff that I don't have no business looking at?
Taking the ring off every time you see somebody look nice, don't mind. Put it back on when they pass you up.
Yeah. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Showing up in your conversation, your conduct,
and
what else?
Yep, and your contribution, that giving.
And your contribution. Yeah. So it's even, you can hear it in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys talk about their marriage. They talk about their family. They got pictures on them showing you their families. And like I said, they got their ring on. And they're always talking about their wives. You can hear it in their conversation. You can see it in their conduct and their contribution. That's a calculated commitment,
and that is what God wants from us. He wants us to have kingdom marriages. Those stats that you shared with us, Coach D, is awful, but
yes. If
we could really, really get to the fact that Jesus made a calculated decision for me, and so if I don't be that witness for him as a married couple, then shame on me. Really, because God's reputation is on the line when we don't operate like the Word of God tells us.
And that's the way jobs do it. Jobs will give you their vision statement, their credos and whatnot.
Yeah.
And everyone should be speaking the same language.
Right.
You know, and making a commitment to the vision. And so once you do, if you don't do that, there's division. And then things begin to crumble and begin to fall apart.
Amen. Wow. I tell you, I don't know if any of the other listening audience, I'm sitting over here and I'm getting messages and people are saying, whoa, this is a fantastic word. People are hungry. I know I am. People are hungry because so many people are, I think everybody wants, you know, I just believe that, you know, when in the garden, when God created Adam and he said it's not good for man to be alone, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. So I think for the most part, unless people have experienced maybe some negative, maybe a previous marriage, but I'm saying for the most part, I believe that everybody desires their mate. And then I think for women, you know, even though it came with sin, we have an even greater desire because part of the curse was that our desire would be for our husband. And so I think everybody wants this, but because it's been so distorted, you know, maybe they haven't been taught. You know, we haven't been taught. So people make decisions based on that, and you just see, you know, it's turned marriage into such an ugly thing. But this teaching, what you're saying, is a, you know, it's just so dynamic in the fact that there's nothing wrong with marriage. It's the components, you know, the people that get involved in it that has the issue. Marriage never failed. You never had any marriage recalls from heaven. And I think that's just a thing that you're saying is because we need to embrace it. And so what I'm going to say, and I'm going to put it out there because I know listening ears are listening, and I think I spoke it to you on Tuesday, we used to have, Al and Hattie used to do a marriage. It was for courting couples and married couples, and they used to do a seminar called up at Al Hattie's, and it was called Keeping Love Alive. Keeping Love Alive.
Wow.
That's where that came from. They used to do that. And then they also used to do one called Advancement to Manhood, where it was just the men and the boys would come up. And if the boys didn't have a dad, there would be other men up there, and they would take them out into the forest at Al Hattie's and blindfold them and have them walk across creeks. And they had to learn how to listen to the voice of their father. And that was skills on how to listen to God. Dynamic events that were put on that were sponsored. They were actually CBM events, you know, Christian Business Ministry events. And so I hear a Keeping Love Alive conference coming up, and I'm speaking it in the atmosphere because I hear it, and I just think it would be so dynamic when you think about. You know, when you think about coaching Hattie and you're talking about 45-plus years of marriage, and then I'm listening to the anointing that's on Coach Don and Charlene that have 22 years, but powerful 22 years where God is giving you an anointing for relationships. And I could just see that conference being so dynamic, and then you get the, because the young, you know, Titus 2 speaks about women, but it's the men too. The older men and the older women teaching the younger men and the younger women. And if a younger man grow up in a house that doesn't have a father, guess what? He's going to take on the characteristics of his mom. And the end result of that is a couple of different things. One, we end up with a bunch of mama boys. Excuse the term, but that's the truth of the matter, because they're going to be overly sensitive. They're going to respond to things from a female standpoint, because that was their governing person was the mom. So what we see is the damage. We see these men that's going into the world, and they don't know how to be providers and protectors. They don't know how to be husbands. They never were taught. Likewise, we have women too. If their mom was bitter because the dad wasn't around, then most likely the mom was speaking a lot of negative things about men. And if they see men coming in and out of their mom's life, then they got a negative perception. So now you got women that saying they want a good man, but they don't even know how to be a good woman because they weren't taught.
Right.
And we need conferences for that. We need, if we could get, you know, like we talk about with BOSS, if we could get the kids, when they're kids, it's easier to train a child up in the way they should go than to have to fix broken women, broken men. Same thing. If we could catch singles or the courting couples, and be able to download 6 stages of commitment, be able to download the 5 C's, then I believe that people will now begin to make commitments and understand what it means to make a commitment, understand what you have to go through, what the walk is. It doesn't say it's easy, but when you know, when you have a point of reference and you know and you've been taught and you've been trained how to move forward. It's like going into the military. When people go into the military, yeah, you have something to just AWOL and just don't get it right. But the percentage of those who get it right, who get trained, who get disciplined, who come out as soldiers is greater than the percentage of those that fall to the wayside. And so why not, you know, use the same approach with the dating, you know, or the court,
yeah,
should I say.
Right.
Why not,
right,
you know, train the singles so that they could become kingdom marriages, so that they could be about their father's business, so that they could understand the purpose of their helpmeet, you know, and why that person's there. This is not about soulmates. This is not about the emotions. And we've been saying that for years, we want a soulmate, but the reality of it is soulmate is based on affections, emotions, and is governed by the 5 senses. All the wrong things that causes a marriage to stand, we've been saying it. We're speaking in the atmosphere. You could go down any social media and all you see is, I'm waiting for my soulmate. I need my soulmate. I'm not going to be happy without my soulmate. And then they get their soulmate, and then they're an emotional wreck on their way to divorce court because everything was based on the 5 senses and emotions, and
right,
they need to
right
understand what the purpose is. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. I'm dropping the mic.
we set ourselves in agreement with you that would be a dream that manifests what you just spoke out.
Yes, yes. And
in
you're
Jesus'
so right
name.
Because,
yes.
And too much is based on emotion and the 5 senses. You know, you talk with some of these people who had got divorced, they'll tell you they had made some of the best love to their mates on the night on the eve of their divorce, you know, but that didn't keep them together. It's because it's more
exactly
than just the 5 senses of emotion. It's understanding what the institution is and what you're supposed to bring to the table. And as you were talking about kids growing up, there's a lot of men and women in marriages, but the son don't know how to be married because he's watching the marriage that his mother and father have, and the father's doing the best he can, but no one ever taught him how to be married.
Right.
And most people
exactly
just say, I do, and then they win. And by the time you do find out what you're doing, you done tore up so much, you know, that
it's going to take God to fix it,
yeah,
to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's the foundation of all relationships. God started with the marriages first, then the family, and then the church. And that's the order that he wants to keep it in. And so, but you're right. I pray that Coach and Mrs. H will start doing the marriage retreats up there. We'd definitely be there.
We're there. Yep.
Amen. We speak it, and I pray that it don't fall on deaf ears because that we could really get that going and get that back up and moving and going again. And I am sure that Coach and Mrs. H and would definitely I'm sure that they would be willing to do it. If not do it, they'll be willing to pass on the baton to someone that they believe is qualified for the position. But I think it's a good idea to start preparing people, to start preparing, you know, because there is a lot of singles. There are definitely a lot of singles and that's desiring their mate, and it would just be so good if we could get them healthy, get them trained, send them through the boot camp. And even those that's married that have been having difficulties because they were more I was reading an article and it was speaking about statistically that more people are more people are excited about marriage than becoming a husband or a wife. And so the key thing in the scripture, man of God, that you said earlier was the revelation that God gave you. And when you spoke it, it confirmed with my spirit. You said the revelation that God gave you, that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Well, he has to find a wife in order to find the good thing, marriage. Now, if people are going to be so excited about marriage first, and they don't even, so they're getting married, and they haven't even found a husband or a wife, so therefore, like you said, the favor is not upon them, because they're going into the ceremony, but they don't even have the right. It's almost like getting in a car and not having keys. You got this beautiful car, but you have no keys to start it up and drive it, or no gas. And that's what people are doing. Right. They're so excited about getting married that they forget that you got to be a wife. You got to be a husband to get married. And so they're just getting in these relationships saying, I do, but nobody wants to be a husband or wife. Nobody wants to sacrifice. Nobody wants to, like you said, die. Nobody wants to die to self. It's about me, what I need, what I want, how I want it. You know, I need a husband. I need a husband. I need a husband. I need a husband. I need a provider. But you're not saying, what about you being a wife? And so, again, I'm excited.
Hey,
yes, ma'am.
Coach D, that's what I was going to say. People are praying for the wrong thing. They're praying for, oh, I want to get married. I want a husband. I want that. So you're so on point with that. But they're not really praying, Lord, make me a wife, because I've been single my whole life. And for me to go into a relationship with somebody else, you got to help me to be a wife. So that's really the prayer that you need to pray. And then God's going to contend with you so he can bring you into that. So that's you're so on point with that, because we're praying the wrong thing. If you're single and you're praying, I want a husband, I want a wife, that's really not the prayer. Make me a wife. Make me a husband. Show me what it takes to be a husband. Show me what it takes to be a wife. Amen.
And you know,
amen.
The thing is, the husband better learn how to pray, make me a husband. Because I'm going to tell you, because what used to work don't work no more. Now, God hasn't changed. But I'm thinking about, like, I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say once, he said the man come in a relationship, and he said, because he want to be able to give her something that she don't have. I'll give you a house. And she said, well, I already got a house. And then he said, okay, well, I'll give you a car. Well, I already have a car. I'll give you some kids. I have two kids. And now you're all out of things. He don't know what to give her. So he better pray, show me how to be a husband.
He better be trying to give her a covering. Yes, he better be trying to give her a covering. Minister to that spirit that's inside of her. Amen.
And when you say give her a covering, because me and Charlene have a couple of friends that we can think of now. When we met, these people knew each other, and they just got married. Now, in this case,
after how many years?
Almost about 20 years.
About 20 years.
And the thing is, God obviously showed the man his wife. You know, he will find the wife, but he never entered into that covenant called marriage until 20 years later. He could have had favor on his life 20 years ago if he had just made the commitment.
Well, now let me just say something to the ladies. If it takes him more than a year to figure it out, I just personally don't believe that. I mean, it doesn't take that long to make a decision. I got friends that are been dating for 7 years. And if you can't pull the trigger year number two, then you know what?
It don't take that long. God can show you somebody then. You could be married less, like me and you, less than a year, 300-something-odd days later. Yes. It don't take that long. God means business. He'll bring someone together, and they don't date for 4 or 5 years. And you pretty much know in a matter of weeks, is this the one for me? If you know what you're looking for, you'll know. And it just don't take a long time. That's the point I'm trying to make. So,
well, one of the things is that this, you have a lot of people in those 5, 6, 7, 10 years, you had a lot of people that's walking out stages 3, 4, 5, and 6, and they totally forgot about stage 1 and 2 because it was never defined, but they wanted to stick around anyway. There was no defining moment, and there was no decision. All it was is distastefulness, disagreement, offense, deception, and it was some dying. It was just not dying of self. They was dying, trying to kill each other, And definitely six is not gonna happen. The destiny of that is that 7 years later, y'all still trying to figure out what you're gonna do. And my thing is that if we can't get this, now I understand if we can't get one and two out the way, we should not even be making it to 3, 4, 5, and 6. You know, and that's what we're doing. But what I want to do really quick is. We start to get towards the end of the show, but what I would like to do is I want to give the listening audience a chance to chime in. If you're listening in on tonight and you're live in the studio and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, if you have a question for the man or woman of God, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll bring you in. This has just been such a dynamic show. I believe we all can agree that we've learned some things tonight, and if you didn't learn something, you definitely got some confirmations that maybe you need to go back to stage one and work your way down. You can't skip around on this. So, again, if you do have a question or comment, for the man or woman of God, dial 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you in. And while we are waiting for those questions and comments, I'm going to ask each one of you something different.
Okay.
Woman of God, if you had, and we know we're going to get Tuesday a Q&A, so those listening in, make sure you tune in on next Tuesday because we're going to be doing a Q&A, and that's a good time, too, if you want questions. Write your questions down. Think about it, what you learned tonight, what you heard tonight. Write those questions down because we're going to open up a panel on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I think it's going to be dynamic. This is just a really good chance to grow. So, woman of God, what would you say there's those listening in, and I'm gonna have you speak to the women. What would you say to the women that are listening in on tonight, whether they're single, courting, or married, but they're heavy hearted, and they've been either single too long, you know, just single for a long time, desiring their spouse, or either they're courting somebody. When you use the term courting, you know, my idea of courting is that if a man is courting me, we have a direction. We've already made a defining moment, or we're getting to that moment. So let's say people that's dating, those that might be dating tonight, let's say they've been dating for years and they're trying to determine if it's God, because that's where they're at. Is this God? Is this you? Give me a sign. Well, I want you to give them a prophetic word on tonight that will give them the sign of what they need to do. And then for those that's married, that's struggling and looking at divorce, you know, they're struggling, and unfortunately the D that they're thinking is probably stage 7 if they skip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's called divorce. What would you say to those women tonight?
Well, I would say for the women that are in a relationship but they're not married yet but just with somebody is that when you have a defining moment, it's a knower in your knower. Now, I may be a little biased because of how God took us on our path, but when I met Don, there was the knowing in my, and it didn't take me long to have that knowing in my spirit that he was going to be the one. So there's the knowing. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and he can really confirm with you if this is who you're supposed to be with or not. So I would really just say go plug back up to the source and get out of your emotions. Get out of the fact that, oh, but I need to have somebody, or I'm 35 or I'm 38 and my time clock is ticking. You know, get out of all of that and really get into, Lord, is this my man of God? Is this my visionary? Is this the one that you call for me? Because I think if you don't settle that on the inside, then you're not going to really make the right decision. You're going to be looking from the outside in, and God really wants you to look from the inside out. I had that no in my nor. Now, if Don would have told me, because he said he knew right away because the Lord told him that she would make somebody a good wife, or that's your wife. Now, if he would have told me that day, I would have thought he was crazy. But after about a month, the impression, you know, came with me that, you know what, this is it. This is really it. So You know, is I believe that God will tell you. I think God will speak to you. And I know a lot of the single women out there that are dating, you already know that you're not even supposed to be with that person because it's unrest on the inside of you. There's, I mean, God is trying to tell you, but you want to be with somebody so bad that you keep clinging on and hoping that he's going to do this and hoping that it's going to get better. But really, you can totally be better off by yourself than to have somebody bringing dead energy into you as you're pursuing your purpose. You start pursuing your purpose, your individual purpose, and then he will have to catch up with you because you'll be on the move and you're not sitting there waiting, watching your clock, you know, so that you, I mean, wasting time really, especially with those ones that y'all know who I'm talking about that are no good. They mean you no good. And they're not trying to make a commitment. They're just trying to get the benefits of marriage while they're single. So that's what I would say.
Amen.
For the married women that are in it already and that's already connected and they're married and they're not really in a good place in that marriage, the same advice I would give them to go back to God and really talk to God about this relationship. And because God can make every crooked place straight. He can. He can really fix that. So I'm going to stop there because of time and let Don answer his question.
Ooh, awesome. Well, we do have a caller, so I'm going to take this caller, and then I'm going to come back to the – I'm going to take the caller, and if we get some more, I'll take them. But then, man of God, what I'm going to do is have you – I'm going to have you speak a word over the man that's listening in on tonight. So, caller, area code 707, last four, 6771. Welcome to Processing the Pain. You're live.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question. So I've been listening to the steps that the six stages of commitment that Coach Don and Charlene just gave. So my question is, on one of the steps, decisive moments, it said, you know, that you decided to not have a divorce, which definitely I've been married 24 years. So that's not a decision in my, I mean, that's not something that's going to happen in my marriage, but yet I feel at times that there's such a struggle or maybe it's one-sided where one is not communicating with the other and like they're shut down. So in that scenario, what is the best way to try and communicate when you feel like communication isn't working?
Good question.
Great question.
Well, you know, one of the things, sometimes people are, you know, like, for example, let me give you this. When me and Charlene got married, you know, the Bible tells us not to be unevenly yoked. She believed in tithing. I didn't. I believed in God. But when it came to tithing, we weren't evenly yoked. And so she was wondering because she knew the Bible said to tithe and she believed in it. I didn't believe. Well, I didn't know. I wasn't doing it. So you had to show me. And I said, well, I'm not ready to do that right now, you know. And I started saying crazy things like, well, God should have showed me tithing, told me about tithing before I made all these deals. Well, anyway, we went to church on Wednesday night, and she acted like she was going to ask a question. We'd have question and answer time. And she stood up and asked the pastor. She said, what if a lady has a husband and he's not tithing and she believes in tithing? Well, everybody knew she was talking about me. And so the pastor kind of turned his back towards me and looked at her and said, here's what you do. He said, if he's not tithing, now his advice he gave us, said, if he's not tithing and you start tithing, he don't believe in it, it's going to be some problems in the marriage. He said, but I'll tell you what you do. You go to God. You begin to anoint that place with oil, and you go to God and begin to tell God to deal with my husband about tithing. And what I'm saying, and it wasn't long before I started tithing, but here's my point. Sometimes we're deceived, and we don't make proper decisions because of deception, and you can't override somebody's will, but you can come against the spirit of deception. You could take authority over that. Women have a lot of power. You could take authority over that spirit of deception that got your husband acting the way he's acting or whatever the case is. And I'm speaking in general, but I'm saying you know what the situation is. You could take authority over that spirit. And I'm telling you, when that spirit is, and when you lose that spirit from his assignment, he'll be able to make some better choices.
So, caller, this is what I did when that scenario came on. Coach D, this is what I did. You'll get a kick out of this. So the pastor told me what to do with the oil. He said anoint the pillows, the sheets, everything. I had some holy oil.
Try to rub my back.
So I was rubbing his back, Coach D, and putting that anointing oil in. He thought I was trying to be sensual, but I was actually putting the anointing on that brother so that God can remove those burdens. Oh yeah, and I put it in his spaghetti. I start putting it in his food. I just start going off because I was like.
That's what got me the spaghetti. I didn't know the dog was spaghetti. I knew she was rubbing on
my
back, but it can't be spaghetti. No, but what we're saying is.
Oh, my goodness.
What we're saying is the enemy will try to get into the marriage any kind of way, you know, and sometimes things are said and the person hears it this way and all. It's a spirit that get in there. You never said this, but that's the way they took it. The point I'm trying to make is this. Take authority of that spirit that's trying to get in your marriage and bring that confusion.
And there's power in prayer. So a praying wife has extreme power. God
yeah.
will open up and hear you. You just have to direct your prayer in the right way, not talking about him. Oh, I wish he would do this. I wish he would do that. No, Lord, I thank you for my house bonder. I thank you. And you start speaking the word over him and start anointing his pillow, start anointing his everything that concerns you, and just really start going out because you're fighting for your marriage. You're fighting. You know that you're supposed to be together, but you got to fight to keep it. And then before you know it, you'll start seeing some behavior changes. You've taken authority over the spirit that's operating to cause the lack of confusion, and then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a wife, meaning standing in God's presence and submitting to
God. It doesn't take God long at all.
Yeah.
You know, the story of Smith Wigglesworth, how he was and how his wife was able to deal with him. And, you know, he didn't want her to even go to church. But next thing you know, God is using him to heal the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons because of the way his wife dealt with him. And I'm just saying, whatever's trying to hinder your marriage, your prayers is powerful enough to put the devil to flight. And your husband, you'll be able to sit down and talk with him and come into agreement.
And that love, I think that because God didn't tell the woman to love the man, did he? He told the man to love his wife like he loved the church. So women automatically have that open heart to love. We can love the unlovable easier than the guys can love because we have, I mean, we just have that in us. And to be able to love that person in spite of, because there's going to be places where you're going to have to love in spite of. You're not going to feel like it. But because the love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart, I have the ability to love the unlovable. I have the ability to love when I'm upset. So that develop the love that you have within, you know, in his presence, and then you'll have a whole open, just a big, I don't know, river of love that'll just flow out of you where normally if you would have reacted, you would have reacted with anger. But now I'm reacting with love, and that's confusing for the enemy.
And that'll wear him out. You know, when you say that, and I'm going to stop, Kenneth Copeland, we heard him minister at our church, and he said that he was being mean and saying the rude things to his wife. This was in their early marriage. And he said she had a tear streaming down her eye, and she grabbed him in the collar and pulled him face to face with her and said, I don't care how mean you are, I'm going to love you anyway. And he said that conviction of the Holy Spirit just started tearing him up. And he said that was like that was really a turning point in their marriage.
That was, yeah.
And so,
wow.
But anyway, if that answers your question, hopefully it did.
I appreciate your answers and your. Definitely, I'll be pouring some oil and spaghetti. But no, just kidding.
I got the oil.
I can do that. But it's just there's just many times where when I'm serving in ministry and he's not, and it's just learning to continually to pray for him and to know that we were meant to be together forever, and it's just learning how to communicate and finding the right way to communicate because I don't always probably do that. So I appreciate your feedback and your insight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, we are, gosh, I tell you, this has just been such a tremendous show, and we are coming in. We're definitely over our normal time. I could go on, you know, I could go on for another hour, but I want to respect the time of our guests, the time of our listening audience. Again, I want to just give anybody that's listening in another opportunity. If you have a question or a comment, it's not too late. Dial one on your dial pad. We'll give you that opportunity. But if not, we're going to go ahead and we're going to close out. But I want you to remember, let me just share this for you. The six stages of commitment. And I'm just going to go through them real quick because I want you. This is going to be like my pledges. I want y'all to know I retained them. One, defining moment when you know that it's your mate for the Spirit of God has confirmed it. Two, decisive moment. Decide based on the confirmation that you are not going anywhere. So because God confirmed it in the defining moment, you've made a decision that this is it. Three, distasteful moment. There's going to be disagreements. We are human. We're flesh. We're going to disagree. We're going to offend one another. But don't allow those moments. The Bible says anger and sin not. In other words, we could get upset. We could be disappointed. But don't allow that disappointment to cause us to sin, to cause us to be ugly. Number four, deception moment. If we don't handle the distasteful moments right and we sin, then we're going to get into some other stuff. That's where you get into, I got an attitude. So we start keeping, especially in marriages, we start keeping our bodies to ourselves. And I'll fix him, you know, that kind of thing. And next thing you know, he's sleeping on the couch and you're sleeping in the bed alone. And next thing you know, we don't speak. We haven't spoke. Nobody's cooking dinner. It's an eerie feeling in the house, and if we don't get that together, we're really going to have problems. Number five, dying moments. When you handle the distasteful moments right, then you don't have to. You could skip number four because you could go straight into number five, and you could die moment. The dying moment is, yes, I was offended. Yes, I was hurt, but I'm going to die to myself because it's not about me, but about the God's purpose. Number six in the final one is a destiny moment. And the destiny moment is walking in purpose. So when you're able to master these stages and be able to skip over four and get straight to five, then you begin to have your destiny moments. You're walking in purpose. You're provoking, you're provoking one another to purpose. You're provoking others to purpose. Others begin to see your marriage is now a ministry. People are looking at your marriage. They're seeing the power and the anointing in your marriage. And your marriage becomes a ministry. That's the destiny moment. Did I get that right? Did I get those things right?
Oh, you preached that. Are
they in my spirit? Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm still speaking. Keep the love alive. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yes, so for those listening, those things, come next Tuesday on Woman to Woman. Now, it's Woman to Woman, but it's going to be for men and women. We are going to finalize this series that we've been having for the last couple of weeks on next Tuesday. Same place, same time on Woman to Woman. I'll have my co-host in the house, Minister LaDonna, be in the house on Tuesday. And we'll have our special guests, men and women of God, the Kingdom Tag Team, Coach Don and Charlene Johnson will be in the house. And we're going to just take this step. You've heard it, but we're going to take it to another level because I'm expecting that on Tuesday God is going to show up and people that's listening in on Tuesday's show, and I'm not trying to be super-duper spiritual, but I believe that there's going to be an anointing. So for those of you who are married and you're going through like the lady that just was speaking, if you could get your husband to listen in, maybe you need to listen to the call and put it on speakerphone so he could hear. For those struggling in their marriage, for those that's courting and you know that you've been courted just a little bit too long, you know, be on that call Tuesday. For those that's single and you're desiring your mate, be on that call Tuesday, because I believe that there's going to be a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to relationships, intimate relationships, relationships that's leading to the good thing. And the relationships that are going to, I believe, is going to be teaching us some things, and we're going to begin to transition from being, I'm a wife now, and I started doing this last year. I started claiming myself as a wife, and I started preparing myself as a wife. And right now, I'm too busy trying to work on being a wife now so that when God do send my husband, you can't become a wife once the husband comes. You're supposed to be a wife before he comes. And you hear this a lot even in the secular world. You hear people dating and they say she's a wifey. Well, what does that really mean? They're saying she has wife-like qualities. And that's what they're looking for. So you got to become a wife before you become a wife. And so I am excited about next Tuesday at 6 p.m., and we're going to close out, and I'm going to have the man of God. Man of God, if you could just speak a word into the listening audience through prayer, and then we're going to bring this to a close and look forward to next Tuesday.
Okay, I sure will. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Father, for your word have we hid in our hearts that we may not sin against you. And Father, we just say thank you for the relationships, the marriages that you brought into our lives, the relationships, wives that are out there, Father, that you're bringing men to, that they would recognize that that's their wife and they will make that commitment. They will be the husband, Father, that you call them to be. Father, we for marriages that are in existence now that are not functioning, you ordained it to function. Father, we say now, we just pray that you would flood their marriage, infiltrate their marriage, Father, with love, saturate their marriage with love one for another. Father, you said that love could cover a multitude of sins. Love, Father, just send love to those relationships right now in the name of Jesus. We just say thank you for it, Father. What you have joined together, let no man put asunder. Father, all the marriages that you ordained, we call them blessed right now in spite of what the enemy is trying to do. We call them blessed right now. And, Father, they will begin to rise to the top and be all that you call them to be. Lord God, we just say thank you. Pour compassion in the hearts of the men and women in these marriages, Lord God, that they would serve the other one, that they would give more to the other one, that they would be in competition with trying to outgive one another, they would love as you call it to love. Not the love that we have known love to be, but that agape love, that love that just love no matter what. Father, we come against any hard-heartedness. Father, go in there and make the hearts palatable, Lord God, for marriages, that you could mold and shape them as you want, that they will yield to you, Lord God, and that their marriage will flourish. Father, we say thank you. We come against any spirits of divorce right now in the name of Jesus. We lose those spirits from their assignment. We command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we say thank you for the marriages. Father, they may have not been everything that we wanted them to be at the time, but we're still in the marriage, and you could do work in the marriage. Thank you, Lord God, that you're restoring marriages right now. That you're hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for restoration in the name of Jesus. Going right into the heart of those marriages. Father, we come against a spirit of deception. That spirit would be loosed right now. We loose the spirit of deception from our marriages in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you for the commitment. We come against a spirit of fear. People who don't want to make the commitment to marriage. People who are in marriage and are trying to backpedal. We come against that spirit of fear right now. Father, that give them a revelation and understanding how good marriage really is. That they would be able to operate under the favor that you've placed on their lives. We say thank you for this institution of marriage ordained of you. And we say they function as you ordained them to function in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father, that not only the people that are married, but we pray for more marriages, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that more marriages will be taking place, more purposeful marriages, marriages that are hitting on all cylinders, that you'll be glorified in a big way in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you, man and woman of God. Thank you so much for being willing, being obedient to sow seed into MCD Network, Woman to Woman, Processing the Pain. It's so needed. I believe this subject is very much needed, and I'm looking forward to us closing it out in excellence on next Tuesday. And those listening in, if tonight's show blessed you, if you really received from it, and I believe you have, tell someone. Let somebody know. We're going to be picking this back up on Tuesday and closing it out. Let someone know. All of us know that single woman that's feeling alone and feeling like she missed the mark and that she'll never get her husband. And all of us know the courting couples that have been courting for years, you know. And then all of us, of course, know some marriages that's on some rocky grounds. They somehow got stuck in number four. And so just let them know to tune in on next Tuesday. We appreciate you. I thank you for tuning in on tonight. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And we look forward to another time spent with you on next Tuesday. Have a great evening. Get them prepared in worship and then send them to the workshop for the word. Get it in them. Get them prepared. Open up their heart. You know, get to soften up the heart through worship and then send them into the workshop where they can get the word. You know, and I see it. I can see it. I can see it. I can see that being dynamic, truly. So we're going to have to, I'm going to have a, look, now what y'all didn't know that I know because I'm on the board in the studio is that Coach and Mrs. H was on the call. That's why I was slinging seeds all over the place. So I'm sure that's going to be.
That's good. That's good.
Yes. Yes. Good. So I'm sure enough going to be, because normally after the show he might, you know, shoot me a text or something. So I'm definitely going to be putting that in his ear and getting his thoughts on that, because I think that, again, we used to do a lot of these different types of things, and I think that we need to get back to doing them, because there's, you know, that advancement to manhood is something that's so dynamic for these young men, because it prepares them. You know, it really prepares them for manhood, and it's needed. And even Mrs. H used to, she did a one time, and what was it called? I'm probably not saying. This was around the time where T.D. Jakes was doing Woman Thou Art Loose, and she ended up doing a women's conference that. Thou art loose, now what? You lose, now what? And it was really a good conference. There was a lot of mothers and daughters that came up, and we just had a good time, and we did different little workshops, you know. And so I just think we have the venue. So it's the point of, you know, we have the venue. We know that we have something tangible as far as the wisdom and the word. We just have to be able to see how we market it to get the people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're in, y'all. We're in agreement.
Yeah, we sure are.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna start. I'm just gonna ask. You have not, cause you asked not. So I'm just gonna ask if that's something that they would be willing to do, and they may not be willing to do, but they may say, "Hey, you guys rent the resort and do it." You know. So we may have to market it and see how we could get enough people that's willing to come up and pay for the weekend and just go from there.
Right,
okay, let's do it. We're in then.
Mm. Okay, well, amen. So Minister LaDon said she already was starting the timeline, so maybe we just need to figure out after next Tuesday, maybe we'll come together and just kind of set a time where everybody's available to for us to sit down and flap doodle and come up with some what that looked like.
Okay, right. That sounds good. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure, as usual.
Thank you so much. Love you guys, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, we love you guys. God bless you.
God bless. Good night.